Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela.
All right. I feel bad we have no guests coming in today because you are glammed the house down.
Oh, my gosh. You guys, beautiful. I went to the RuPaul's Drag Race finale last night.
Fantastic.
And I have to tell you, I not only had the best time, and we can talk about it, I didn't get home until so late. And you know when you're just so tired, you pass out, like, yeah, just in a coffin. And I woke up and my beat was still, like, so
perfect.
Fierce.
Yeah.
And I was like, we're going to go another day with this. Yeah. Paid enough. Let's go another day.
So what time did it all kind of wrap up?
So it started an hour earlier than originally told. So we, like, raced over there, me and Daddy Lisa.
Yeah.
And, you know, it is just such a kiki. It's such our culture. It is so proud.
It's the who's who are there, yeah.
It is, but also everyone's really trying to let their freak flag fly.
Nice.
And wearing things that maybe they wouldn't normally wear, feel
sure.
comfortable wearing. And you're like, you go, girl. Like, you look great. But there was a really nostalgic moment for me because the Orpheum Theater, when I was on American Idol, now when I was 16, Hollywood Week for me was at the Orpheum Theater.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And some of the most iconic things that happened for me on the show
were there
at the Orpheum Theater.
Wow.
And I remember thinking to myself, I just wish I knew my 16-year-old self then.
Yeah.
Because I wish I could have been like, girl, your life is going to be everything you want in a couple years. Like, move your insecurities out of the way. You're going to be here for a Drag Race finale with your hot girlfriend in a leopard suit one day. You don't even know. So it was really sweet, just like on a personal note.
Yeah.
But then it was amazing. We got there thanks to Toni Moore. We got these great seats.
Great.
And then somehow we got ushered up all the way to the front. And so hopefully we'll have some cute reaction shots.
Cute.
But everyone looked amazing. It was my first finale. I've been a fan since season one.
That's amazing.
And so it was just really great.
Any surprises? Like, I know you can't give specifics about what happened, but anything surprise you about the way they shoot their finales?
It's just very long.
Long, yeah.
Yeah, people aren't prepared. We probably didn't get done till about 12:31. And I will say this, though.
Do they give you water or snacks or anything?
They do. And there's a concession that you can get wine beforehand.
Oh.
Or like vodka or cocktails.
Sure.
But I'm like, sis, who's getting a drink? Like, you're sitting there for 7 hours. You have nowhere to go.
Right,
like,
right.
You know when you're like that kind of tipsy and you're like, nowhere to go. So that was fun. And then I will say that RuPaul is absolutely beautiful in
so
drag, in person.
Nice.
People have always tried to like clock him for lighting.
Yeah.
No, she looked gorgeous. Michelle Visage, that was the first time everybody's seen her since her explant surgery.
That's right. She posted a bunch of pics, but we've not seen her live.
She looks amazing. She
Good
looks so great. The breasts look amazing. And all the queens looked good. They
good.
Looked pretty.
Right on. That's exciting. I'm excited to watch the finale and find out what happens. But till we get there, maybe it's time for some news on the beat. So, Michaela, what else are people talking about?
All right, guys. Well, police in Baltimore are searching for two men they believe burned a pride flag outside of the LGBTQ shop Same Gender Love in the Mount Vernon neighborhood Saturday. Now, the board chair of Pride Center at Maryland, Merrick Moses, was filming an episode of Queer Conversations, an internet series featuring racial, sexual, and gender minorities inside the shop when the flag was burned. Now, when the crime occurred, according to the Baltimore Sun. Surveillance footage shows two men running away from the store, which sells LGBTQ-themed novelties and cards, after setting the flag on fire. The incident is being considered a hate crime. My first reaction was full of emotion, said Marva Laws, the owner of the shop. I was very angry because this is mine. It belongs to me. Of course, I took it personally. My second reaction after I think about it is I feel sorry for whoever did it. What statement are you making other than showing that somebody ignorant walked past my store? Now, Laws, who was not at the shop at the time of the crime at 9:40 a.m. Saturday, instructed the employee who reported it immediately replaced the rainbow flag, according to The Sun. All right, moving on. Former President Jimmy Carter is recovering after falling and breaking his hip this morning, according to a statement for the Carter Center. The center said Carter was preparing to go turkey hunting when he fell in his home, which is something I often do, turkey hunting. It added that he is now recovering comfortably after undergoing surgery at the Phoebe Sumter Medical Center in Americus, Georgia. His wife, Rosalyn, is with him at the medical center. President Carter said his main concern is that turkey season ends this week and he has not reached his limit. The statement reads, he hopes the state of Georgia will allow him to roll over the unused limit to next year. The former president was in office from 1977 to 1981. He was diagnosed with brain cancer in 2015. He announced several months later that a brain scan showed the cancer was gone following the treatment.
And the turkey community heaves a giant sigh of...
Making a comeback. All right, you guys, we want to remind you it is New York City Pride, and thanks to Channel Q and Schafferhofer Pomegranate Grapefruit, they want to send you and a friend. They're going to take care of your airfare and your hotel stay. All you have to do is head on over to wearechannelq.com, and they want you to unleash your pride. Let your freak flag fly this summer. It is an amazing party that you do not want to miss. All right, Jay, can you think of something that one-third of our community finds completely unnecessary?
The Kardashians?
Oh, good answer.
Yeah.
No,
it's
but
not that. Jeez.
I would have taken that.
All right, well.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela.
I am thrilled that you're in a relationship, but a piece of me like is bummed you missed out on online dating.
You know, like, I think it's, I feel like God saved me by not letting me be single during the digital time.
I would just be so curious for your stories.
Girl, I was wild when I was single. Yeah. Like, I'm thankful that I have been put in good relationships.
Could you imagine you're on Tinder, you're swiping, there's Michaela Gordon.
Oh, with like photoshopped for the gods, honey, snatched.
You're like, I love
like,
this.
Working,
what
like
working. What cover of magazine is she on in
they're
this?
Like, the lesbians are like, drag queens are not allowed on here. I'm like, you're not allowed on here.
Yeah, well, Tinder released this new study, which it's kind of fascinating. They basically were asking the survey, by the way, it discovered generational differences in attitudes towards different things like labels. So like only 39% of Generation Z, which is like the babies of the community, said that a person's sexual orientation was important in finding a potential mate, versus 58% of my generation, Gen X. Also, the dating app conducted a survey of 1,000 of its LGBTQ plus users in the U.S. ages about 18, I guess that'd be Generation Z, to 45, mm-hmm. from March to April, from March like the middle of March to middle of April, and about their attitudes toward modern dating. And the results could like kind of made, you know, kind of make interesting news. Apparently, most people, most of the LGBT people in the U.S., 79%, which is pretty high, believe that dating apps have helped to lead to a decline in stigma. The more society, more tolerant society has led to people feeling more at ease around LGBTQ adults. Do you agree? Do you disagree? Or do you think it has nothing to do with this?
Well, first of all, I think that online dating is definitely so much more difficult than anything else. I mean, when you used to have to meet people, you had to like actually talk to them and you had to interact with them. I feel like this generation is very socially awkward because everything is digital. Yeah. And they're just used to swiping and you're seeing photos that may not actually look like the person. Yeah. But then you other girls that are looking at those photos are like, oh, I got to step up my game. And so then there's a lot of competition happening or feeling not worthy. And then if they don't get swiped a bunch of times, it makes them feel insecure.
Right.
So yeah, I kind of miss the days when you just had to physically meet somebody at a bar or at a restaurant or at a grocery store.
It's interesting. Tinder's kind of making it seem like you can wean out the qualities you don't like. Apparently, activism has become an important part of modern dating. Around half of the people surveyed placed a very high value on community involvement. 26% wanting their partners to have ties to LGBT organizations. I yeah. wouldn't mind that if I knew a dude was like donating to Equality California or GLAAD or Trevor Project, or he was on the board for one of those. Oh my God, instant points.
Yeah. Well, I think also it's sort of become more like a hookup culture than it is people trying to find love, it's easy to be like, oh, she's cute, let's just make this happen really quickly, sure. as opposed to finding true love.
Yeah.
I did think that it was interesting, though, that it another study was that adults are believing that a formal coming out is unnecessary. Because that's sort of where we want to be. I feel like, did you have like a formal coming out?
I get like to family, like, I don't know.
Yeah, I guess to family, to friends, to,
yeah,
was it a
you
thing?
Sort of had to, I think, because in the workplace, people were very quick to label.
Yeah, right.
So
that
you're
sense.
Like, they want to know, you know, are you gay or straight? And, you know, I think a lot more than people would be able to ask now. I mean, it was just a little bit more private now. People are allowed to have privacy, or they're to be like, that's personal. I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, for me, I didn't do a big coming out. I just started dating. And then it was like, clearly this is what I'm doing, so get with the program. But I think that for some people, they don't want to have to come out. That's the same. But for other people, it is sort of an empowering moment for them too. And especially they appreciate their family accepting them, because unfortunately in this time, being gay is still very difficult in a lot of places.
A lot of families still have very
strong
like
opinion.
Yeah, just like old ties to old ideology about what it means to be a part of the community. And I think it, you know, it carries on. But you know what else I thought was fascinating is that when asked what are some of the most important issues facing the LGBTQ plus community, queer Tinder users pointed out bullying. They thought 62% that was something that's really impacting the community. Suicide rates among youth, 58%. So that was really important. Trans rights.
This is due to online?
No. These are what they were
statistics.
Asked. Yeah, what do you guys think are the most important issues facing our community right now? So it was bullying, suicide rates amongst youth, and transgender rights. I can co-sign on that. I think those are some of the real big ones.
I think so, too. I think that the suicide rates among youth is something that we talk about so often. I mean, hello, Nelson Shelby is something that we talked about forever that happened just a few weeks ago. And due to bullying...
I'm curious what you think about this. Despite the enactment of marriage equality, 27% of LGBTQ Tinder users indicated that there's less pressure now to be in a relationship than there was 5 years ago. Do you think that's true?
Yeah, I think there's a lot less pressure. Let me say this, be it I'm a lesbian, straight, anything, women, I think, are also feeling very empowered to be like, oh, we don't have to marry anymore. Like, I'm an independent woman. We're not doing that. And I can have a baby when I'm 40 as opposed to 20. So we're moving on. And because of that, a lot of people, but particularly women, are not playing the traditional roles anymore.
Yeah. I feel like for me, the only reason I feel the pressure is because people in my generation, like my peers, we couldn't get married. So then when we could, they were already in their 30s. And like all of a sudden it was this new shiny opportunity. So I had I went to a bunch of weddings and some of them ended in divorce.
Of course.
It's a little too quick.
They're like, let's do it.
And I'm like, bad I don't know
choice.
You. Yeah.
Well, listen, coming up, peanut butter and jellies, bacon and eggs, Jay and Michaela, we are a match made in heaven. But find out what food company is trying to make these matches work. And it's kind of just not. We'll have that story in 10 minutes.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela.
All right. So food is relative as to what people think is delicious to what people think is disgusting. You might love something and someone else might see you eating it horrified.
For example, do you know what I actually hate?
What do you hate?
Mushrooms.
Interesting.
I think they look like little snails.
So is it the flavor, the consistency? Like if someone sneaks them in, do you know?
It's the texture.
The texture.
I can taste it.
Uh-huh.
Ugh. Actually, just thinking about it, I'm so grossed out.
So you don't like snails then, I'm assuming.
Girl, no. Right. Actually, you know what somebody gave me the other, a few weeks ago to try was caviar.
Oh.
Yuck.
Oh, you've never had caviar?
No, I never had a desire for it.
Get it out of a toast point, a little creme fraiche and caviar on it.
You like caviar?
I love caviar. Not just with a spoon, but
what do you like it on?
You do
just
a toast,
like a, bread.
Like a toast point, and then you do, so you just like cut up toast and you put a little olive oil, put it in the oven so you get it nice and little toasted, take it out, then you put some creme fraiche on it, like a dollop of something, and then you put the caviar on it.
I want to love it because I want to be fancy with caviar and champagne. I just can't.
If you have it in that way, it may taste different.
But it's eggs, right? It's like fish eggs. What do you say? Fish eggs.
Yes, it is fish eggs. And it's depending on the kind of fish, it's different kinds of caviar.
Okay, well, I have my own eggs. Thank you. And I will just hold on to those.
So that's disgusting to you. I'm trying to think of things that are common that I'm grossed out by.
Do you like tomatoes? A lot of people don't like tomatoes.
I don't have any issues with anything. Like cauliflower, Brussels sprouts, I'll eat it all. Like I don't have a...
Meats, cheeses... How about if you put something together that doesn't sound delicious together? Like you could like something, but mixing it with something else would be the most disgusting thing you've ever heard of.
I'm not sure. I'm going to read this article. Now, this is from the Yahoo's Life and Style section. They're basically saying that cheese tea is basically tea topped with a cream cheese frosting, like the kind you would have on carrot cake. For lack of a better example of what cream cheese frosting tastes like.
Got it.
So that to me does not sound horrible because I like cream cheese frosting. Like, for instance, red velvet cake. I love that frosting. But this is like if you go get like an iced tea, perhaps like a boba or something. And they're saying that the new trend right now is for this kind of cheesy top. Some of it is basically either salty or sweet, depending on how it's prepared. But it's usually made of cream cheeses blended with condensed milk to create sort of this frothy topping.
I think that sounds delicious.
I kind of think it sounds good.
Because I love, like you said, I love cream cheese frosting. I think it's so good.
Yeah, if it has that cream cheese, what I like about cream cheese frosting is the salty sweet ratio.
Yeah, I think it's so good.
You don't think cream cheese frosting tastes like carrot cake? I think it tastes salty. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think so. Yeah.
Because when you're making it, you do add salt. So,
yeah.
Well,
I think that Justin's so grossed out by this idea, but I don't think it's any different. Our producer, Justin, and you could talk, but I think that it's no different than whipped cream. I think that whipped cream is condensed milk as well with a couple of eggs.
You know where I kind of draw the line? I've never went to taste like a nice thing of Lipton iced tea and go... You know what it needs? Some cheese. You know, I just want that good cheesy
flavor. But I think when you break it down and
you're saying
cheese,
cheddar, yeah, it's not.
No, not even cheddar. I don't want schmear in my iced tea.
Now, do you like whipped cream?
But if it's a whipped consistency. That's the piece.
Yeah, I don't agree.
Well, I think we should try this.
Let's try it.
Yeah, we'll figure out where they sell this and try it. I'm not a proponent for judging something before I tried it. I mean, some of these photos look appealing, some not so much. So, I mean, I guess it is there. But by the way, to make your own, all you do is toss milk, cream cheese, whipped cream, condensed milk, and a pinch of salt in a large bowl. Use a hand blender, just whip it up until it kind of gets foamy. Apparently, that's all you have to do. And you cover the foam with saran wrap or the bowl's top and refrigerate it for a minimum of 2 hours. Then it's all set.
I'm not going to lie. I think it sounds really good.
I think it sounds good, too.
Okay.
I don't really love dairy because it kind of... But I would, for this instance, I would try it.
You would go dairy for this.
Yeah.
Another thing that they're talking about is they're planning on putting pasta on top of your pizza.
I saw this article.
Right? With pineapple on top.
Yeah.
That's not the weirdest thing to me. You often have pizza and pasta together. You might as well just mix it all so that it helps.
Because you're like me. You grew up in an Italian household where that wasn't out of the norm.
That's so not weird to me. Actually, what's weird to me is the pineapple. That's more abnormal than putting pasta on your pizza.
Well, you know what's funny is that's from Domino's, who's thinking about doing this. And this is going to start in New Zealand. But the chain even made a little treat tastier by adding chunks of pineapple to the original idea, which was just going to be spaghetti-trimmed pizza. So it's called the Hawaiian Spaghetti Pizza. And like the photos of it, I'm not mad at it. By the way, the spaghetti they think that they're using, it looks more like, I guess it looks a little bit more mac and cheesy spaghetti.
It looks like SpaghettiOs, which is offensive, kind of. That's what more grosses me out, SpaghettiOs.
And it's from this brand called Waddy's, which is, I guess, an Australian or New Zealand brand. Yeah.
Well, maybe we could try this as well.
I don't know if it's going to make it stateside, but we can order it from New Zealand if we've any listeners there, and then just tell them that to deliver it to the Entercom building.
Honestly, I've postmated a lot of weird things. That wouldn't be the weirdest thing I've ever tried to do.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela.
Well, I came into a horrifying discovery yesterday.
Go on.
So I had a nice sushi dinner at, do you remember Katana? Remember when people used to go there?
Oh my God, yes.
Did I just take you back?
Yeah, oh, but yes.
Yeah.
It did. But Katana was great.
It still exists.
Did you go? You went last night. love.
What it is it's kind of a sceney sushi place.
Yeah.
And very chic. So it's not an everyday sushi spot, right? So when I first, if you first move to LA or if you're working a TV show or something like that, people are like, you want to go to Katana? You know, it's a little like
and
that.
And it was so like that. Yeah. It's like what Ketch is now.
Right. So my friend said they have a great happy hour there for the discounted sushi. And I was like, great, let's do that. So we did that for dinner yesterday. And then I was like, I have to get home because I have to feed and walk the dog. And then it's bedtime. So I leave dinner at like, I don't know, 7:30 or something like that. And I'm like feeling okay about it. We got there at like 6:45 or something. And
you got there at 6:45 and dinner was over at 7:30?
Because I just had a couple little like sashimi things.
Girl, yeah. I feel like it takes so long to eat. I'm like, come 9 o'clock, just finishing up.
But I knew I had to be home. I left them there. They were just chit-chatting. So I ran home and I had to do all the errands. And then, you know, Rico was out and about. My roommate was he was wallpapering the kitchen, the drawers and all the shelves. And it looked great. But the dog was running around. He hadn't eaten yet. So I feed the dog, take the dog outside, walking. And I just realized I had an epiphany.
What?
As I gave the dog like his anxiety medication and then was very like super protective on the entire walk. I'm the mother from the act.
Why do you say this?
I'm like super like protective, like something's going to kill him, like he's a disaster to himself. They're not real things. Like he's so changed his personality.
But he is a disaster to himself. Rico is wild.
I think that's something I put into the ether that I just started getting other people to believe, because consistently he's not. It's like weird. If he has what he needs, like Doc Halligan says all the time, like if he's exercised correctly, if he's being fed on time and all those kind of things and walked on time, he's like a normal dog. So I think I kind of started perpetuating this idea that he was quote unquote sick. And then I was like, you're literally the mom from the act.
This is who you are now.
This is who I am now.
Happy Mother's
Day,
psycho.
Because he was a complete lovely dog this weekend at the Borders house. Lovely. And then they, I always like, I'm so sorry. They're like, he's a total delight.
I have to tell you something. My dog is actually a delight. But even last night when I got home, he's gotten this whole new personality, Rocco. And I went to go to sleep and he uses his paws as hands. I've literally never seen a dog paws as his hands. And he crawled up, he untucked the covers, put himself under the bed next to me, and brought the covers up. I wish that I was lying. I wish that that was an exaggeration.
He was like, I know how this goes.
He laid next to me, and I was like, girl, I want to lay next to Daddy Lisa. Get away from me. But he had tucked himself in so tight. I said, well, I can't move him now. He did all the work. Just laying there. You little lazy dog.
Like now that you've had Rocco for like a good 6 months-ish, yeah. Right? Like what have you noticed? Because you adopted a two, three, something like that.
He's 2 years old. He's a year and a half, almost two, is what his vet says, because he was adopted. So we don't know. I noticed that he's a runner.
He likes to run.
So mommy is often running down Doheny screaming, Rocco, if you ever see me, feel free to get out of your car.
What does he do
and
then
help me catch it.
Once he's off? How do you get him back?
He's an actual animal. He knows how to bolt right out and he'll do it right when I'm not looking. And for this, the dog has the shortest legs I've ever met.
Sure.
I mean, the dog was made for me. We are very short people. He bolts towards Doheny where there's a busy street. I have neighbors jumping out. It's like a whole musical on Wrangley Avenue.
So then what happens when
they're jumping out?
When you get him out, how do you get him back in? He'll actually just stop or will he come?
At some point, he'll wear himself out.
Yeah.
Last week when he did it, there were other dogs and this like dog mom had her dog stop him. And so he was like, and I finally ran. And listen, I'm not a runner, you guys. Like I'm not the one to be running after this dog.
Yeah.
I finally caught him, and then I like yelled at him. You know, you get scared,
yeah.
And then you're like
parents do.
What were you thinking?
Yeah,
as
yeah.
if they can talk back to you. You're
sure.
like, what were you thinking, Rocco? You have a nice life. You're fed. Where are you gonna go, Rocco? I'm your mom. I adopted
but
you.
But he's fixed and everything.
Yeah, but he's my dog. I mean, I feel like it's just my fate that's because he's cuddly. He likes to use his hands, his paws, his hands. He doesn't really bark. He likes to lay on his whole belly on my belly. He loves Daddy Lisa. He just He likes to run.
We need to get him a run. Yeah, he's his little running partner.
She's a runner.
Well, anyway, I think it's funny how we can impose our own anxiety or insecurities on our pets sometimes.
That's right.
And then all of a sudden, you know, they become this thing where they're like, that's your image of me. I never said I was. That is what I felt last night for my dog. I was like, maybe you're right. Maybe I've seen you wrong this whole time. I'm so sorry.
Rico made you have a come to Jesus moment.
Kind of. And I was like, very in my feelings about it. I was like, I'm sorry. Woo, whoopsie.
Rico in his sweet broken English was like, I'm better than you.
I mean, listen, when he's around guests and strangers, of course, he acts a little more wild than normal. But on the day-to-day, if I look at it, he's never pooped or peed in the house. He's never destroyed any property in the house. So why am I thinking that he's a terror dog? You know, it's so funny. Interesting. Yeah.
All right, you guys. Well, coming up, we put out a question for you guys to answer. Social media topic is, did you make a mistake on social media? And what were the consequences? We want you to DM us at We Are Channel Q.
All the juicy stories.
Yeah, we want the tea. And that'll be coming up in 10 minutes.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela.
I literally have to write everything down. I've gotten to that place in my life.
You have? I think it's good, though. I think writing things down is
in my phone,
much
like
more
my
helpful.
Calendar.
Oh, I think it's more helpful when I physically write it down. I just memorize it better.
Oh, yeah. I have to set alerts and things now because we have so much going on.
Yeah, we do. What do you have going on today? What's
well,
happening?
We have the panic room.
Oh, God, I forgot the panic room. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but here's the thing. It's an escape room, but somehow you have found the escape room that is an actual panic room that could possibly have people jumping out and attacking us panic room.
Yeah, and also, you and I have a photo shoot on the third floor studio today.
What?
For Stonewall. We agreed to this with Marnie.
What time is that again?
10 o'clock.
Okay. So
we agreed to that because I just have it in this as well.
You know what I like about myself?
What do you
I
like
just
about
wing my whole entire life.
Yeah.
I just get small reminders of what's supposed to happen.
Zit on my face, did not dress for the occasion. I don't care. You got
it's
us natural here at Channel
we
Q.
We love natural.
Meanwhile, I'm without anything and you have all the
Meanwhile,
makeup in
I
the world.
I could have a more of a beat.
Yeah.
Actually, this worked out perfect for
it
me.
It really did.
Hello, me.
Yeah.
I am in sweats, though, so hopefully it's just neck up.
Yeah, that's fine. Remember I asked for stools because I didn't like the way the videos looked last time. It looked like a drama club video. I didn't like it.
Everyone yeah, it did. This,
those leather couches that only straight men get at Costco.
We love those, though.
Oh, God.
Those Costco couches. You know, I haven't been to a Costco in a long time.
Oh, it's fun. You just walk out like you do with Target, like poor, because you spent all your
yeah,
money.
Yeah, I know. I prefer it. My grandma used to take me when I was little to Costco, and it was like a big day for us. I thought rich people mm-hmm. went there.
I also really one day want to buy a Costco-sized TV.
Yeah, Lisa bought a Costco-sized TV.
When you walk in there, you feel like, my TV is nothing. I have no TV.
You feel like that about your six-pack of water. You're six-pack. I should have a 48-pack of water in my studio apartment.
That's right.
Just not enough room for Costco.
I need like a whole water cooler for an office for my bedroom.
Yeah.
I'm parched before bed. I mean, like it really starts your mind thinking, maybe I do need that.
Yeah, it does. That's yeah. why I feel in Target though, too. I'm like, I definitely need this bathroom scrub for my toilet. Like it's important that yeah. it stays clean.
That's right. And there's different kinds of like, there's new and every brand has some weird invention to help you save time and you end up spending more money than just the basic model thing that you already own.
Naturally.
I'm a sucker for a good price point, too.
Oh, I love
Get me at a good, like, $784 or something where it's not quite $799. You know, like, when they get you, when they mess with the numbers, and like, on sale for $325. And I'm like, well, that's the bargain, clearly.
Something you don't even need.
No,
like tampons.
All.
You're like, gotta have them.
Yeah.
$325.
That's right. All right, well, maybe it's time for some news on the beat. So, Michaela, what are people talking about?
All right, guys. Well, across America, children came home from school, turned on PBS, and saw a gay rat get married on Monday. Yes, you heard me right. In a brand new episode of the children's television show Arthur, titled Mr. Ratburn and the Special Someone, the kids find out that their teacher, Mr. Ratburn, is getting married. At first, they mistake Mr. Ratburn's bossy sister Patty, voiced by Jane Lynch, as his fiance, but at the wedding day, Arthur, Buster, Francine, Muffy, and Binky attend the event to find out that Mr. Ratburn is marrying a man, or rather a male animal. From the looks of him, he is an aardvark like the show's titular hero. Now, very few animated shows shows aimed at children embrace queer themes and content, even when they're as tepid as Arthur's. In 2005, PBS was forced to pull an episode of the Arthur spinoff Postcards from Buster, in which Buster visited a family with lesbian mothers. Before it was to air, former education secretary under George W. Bush, Margaret Spellings, asked PBS to pull the episode for fear that children might be exposed to, ugh, lesbians. Thank you. Moving on, in a major setback for Apple, the Supreme Court ruled that iPhone owners can sue the tech giant for monopolizing its app store. A group of iPhone owners had accused Apple of violating U.S. antitrust rules by not allowing users to get apps from any other source. In its opinion, the Supreme Court said consumers have the right to sue the company because they purchase apps directly from Apple. Now, the ruling could have widespread implications for other tech companies that operate similarly walled-off online storefronts, an expert says. All right, guys, for years, the Spice Girls have served as icons and inspirations for their LGBTQ fans. But this summer, Sporty Spice herself is showing even more love for her queer fans. On Monday, Melanie C announced that she would be performing at this year's New York City Pride Festival and its closing ceremonies, joining the ranks of performers like Jake Shears, Melissa Etheridge, and Pablo Vittar. This will be her first appearance at a North American Pride event. But that is the beginning for the singer's summer. Melanie C will also embark on her World Pride World Tour, including dates in Brazil, Amsterdam, Germany, and the UK, with the London queer collective Sync the Pink and their bevy of drag queens. The stage show will involve all the hits, a sequined catsuit with Adidas, of course, and four extra spices in drag, according to a statement. The new tour will come just on the heels of Melanie C's reunion tour through the UK with the rest of the Spice Girls, starting later this month in Dublin. To see the announcement and all the tour dates, head on over to wearechannelq.com. While you're there, speaking of New York City Pride, we want you to have a chance to see Melanie C, Jake Shears, Melissa Etheridge, Pablo Vittar, because thanks to Channel Q and Schafferhofer Great Fruit and Pomegranate, they want to send you and a friend to see this amazing Pride event. They want to take care of your airfare and, of course, your hotel stay. So all you need to do is head on over to wearechannelq.com, because Schafferhofer embraces you to unleash your pride. We love that. Ugh, I want to go so bad to New York City Pride. I think that sounds so fun. All right, you guys. Well, coming up, Trump is at it again. Find out what he's opposed this week. We're the new Channel Q on your radio and radio.com.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela.
Fascinating, fascinating conversations being had here over my almond chai tea latte.
Mmm, yeah, you love that almond chai tea latte.
I'm a creature of habit. Now I'm just in the habit of it.
You are such a creature of habit. That is one thing for sure.
Yeah.
I was thinking, but do you like? But you like structure like that, and like, you know, you like familiar.
I think structure I find comforting in times of chaos, or it makes me feel a bit more like everything's going to be okay.
Yeah.
But when things are unstructured, I feel out of sorts and I can't, you know, think.
Definitely.
It's like sometimes when you're booked on an event and you don't have the specifics. That kind of vibe drives me nuts.
Yeah. I think for me, what I don't like is the everyday same routine. I get very bored very easily. Mm-hmm. I think it's just, being an entertainer. We're always doing different things, performing different, you know, comedies or singing or hosting. And so I sort of like the change sometimes.
Yeah.
But I do love an almond chai vanilla latte. So thank you.
Well, Donald Trump, of course, as we know, is one of those flip-floppers when it comes to he'll say whatever he needs to say for whoever he think might be needing to hear something. Mm-hmm. This weekend, I spent with the guys over at Equality California. They had a gala in San Francisco honoring a couple politicians as well as Rita Moreno for her philanthropy and her work with the LGBTQ plus community. And it was kind of one of those really energizing events where you are so taken by everyone's joint energy wanting to affect change within the community. And when you see the video packages that kind of narrate the journey from decades ago to now, you kind of forget the people who kind of tied different moments in together politically to get us to who fought the government and who sued the government at different times. It got me really in my feelings, and I think in the best way possible, a nice reminder. Well, our very own Samuel Garrett Pate and the Equality California team of course, have been pushing this Equality Act, which would essentially protect against discrimination based on sexual orientation and gender identity. And the Trump administration absolutely opposes the discrimination of any kind and supports equal treatment of all. However, this bill, the way it is right now, allegedly it's being said that it's filled with poison pills that threaten to undermine parental and conscious rights.
Okay.
And that's a government official wrote this to the Washington Blade in an email regarding the thoughts that the Trump administration would have on this specific bill. Now, the bill itself would ban discrimination not only in employment, but in housing, in your credit. If you want to get a loan from a bank to buy a house or something, it's really tricky for same-sex couples to get that to happen. It also discrimination in when it comes to education, federal finance assistance, and federal jury service. That's how this would protect you. But the latest version of the Equality Act was introduced to the U.S. House of Representatives in March, and the conservatives have since come out in hysterical droves. You know, I think a lot of people feel, who are conservative, that it's the most extreme threat to religious freedom, free speech, and privacy, you know, and all these other issues. And people call it heinous. They call it nightmarish. And, you know, it's kind of crazy. You know, some people will not change their minds about LGBTQ plus folks.
Well, you know what's interesting? It was something that you and I were discussing on the break that really put things into perspective. I said, you know, it's so hard covering these stories because it's like, duh, of course Donald Trump opposes it. Like, not, no shocker here. But it is true because when he was running originally, remember he stood outside and he held up the LGBTQ flag
like some rally or
upside
something, right?
down, yeah. first of all. Yeah. But he held it and he was like, I'm for the people. And so a lot of people, either they're straight allies or just people that aren't really paying attention, are like, no, he's still for LGBTQ.
That one moment, people held on to that. But then all the legislation does not support our community. All the laws that are being made or the kind of things that he's doing, the rhetoric, all of it together are in direct opposition of equality for our community. Back in 2000, by the way, when he's just an everyday citizen, when he was considering a possible run for president on the Reform Party ticket, he told The Advocate magazine back in the day that he supported amending federal civil rights laws to ban discrimination based on sexual orientation back in 2000. Mm-hmm. And then in 2004, he appeared on a groundbreaking TV series with this little Rican right here called Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. Didn't seem to have a problem with the gays then.
Yeah.
So it's just really interesting to me how he's aligned himself with a party that is so in the dark about our community and keeps perpetuating lies about our community on their most popular news programs. And then acts like this are very difficult to pass because of the Religious Freedom Act, which they wanted to say, well, Michaela, as much as I'd love to sell you a diamond ring to you and Lisa, now that I know you're a lesbian, I'm not selling it to you. And legally, in many states, you know, you can totally do that.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely interesting how religion and one specific religion sort of dictates the entire country. Because what if you're Jewish? What if you, you know, what if you don't believe in that?
Yeah. What if you're Methodist
or atheist? You know, I've always found that very interesting that we use a certain religion, Christianity, to, you know, just one.
Yeah.
So religious freedom, but just one,
this one,
honey.
This is the only good one.
I mean, like I said, it's no shocker. I think it's funny when people try to show me photos, and I think this actually often happens. People try to show me photos of Donald Trump with gay people, and they're like, "Look, he likes gay people."
They did that. Remember in the Senate when they were talking about, I can't remember what it was, but one of the Republicans pulled over an African American staffer. And was like, what do you think of Donald Trump? And she was like, like he used her as a prop
totally.
In that same way to be like, look, she's black and she has no problem with Donald Trump.
Yeah, but also just because I take a photo with somebody, it doesn't mean I respect them or like them or believe that they have, you know, equal rights.
Or that they should have equal rights. Yeah, I agree with you on that. I think that that's the misconception. Well, I have black friends. How many times have you voted in their interest?
Oh my God, that's like the worst one for me. I have black friends. So I'm not racist. No, you can still definitely be racist with black friends because what are you fighting for? And I'm proud of you so much for going to the equality.
It makes you feel good when you leave these politically charged events. Also, just spelling out the deficits in our protections. Understanding where the gaps are in where we're protected is really important, because then when it happens to you, you're not going to be so shocked. You're like, this is exactly, if this law was in place, this couldn't happen to me. I couldn't be discriminated against at a bank. I couldn't be discriminated against at an apartment building. But until we have these protections in place, these kind of things are going to continue to happen. I'd love to talk about this more and just kind of a little bit cleaner tomorrow with Sam McGrath Pay, because he knows what's actually
That's
in the
right.
act. I'd be very curious to what these poison pills are.
Is that it the birth control?
I think they're metaphoric, but I'm curious. And so Sammy Gary Pate will unpack that for
That's
us.
That's right. All right. Well, coming up, social media. Did you make a mistake on social media? And what were the consequences? Also, there's a celebrity that made a big mistake, and I don't know if she can recover from this. We'll have that story for you in 6 minutes.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela.
Okay. So, you know, you were just talking about earlier about you don't like monotony. You don't like the same thing over and over and over again.
That's right.
All right. Well, Constance Wu, who everyone got to know on a broad scale with Crazy Rich Asians, is one of the stars of Fresh Off the Boat, a really groundbreaking series that is about a family's journey being first generation here in the States during the 80s. And she stars as the sort of matriarch of the family. And the word was announced that her series got picked up. Her tweet, so upset right now, I'm literally crying, bleep, F word. Mm-hmm. Then she comes back a couple moments later. This is like literally 14 minutes later. She says, bleeping hell. Then someone says, congrats on your renewal. Great news. And she says, no, it's not. And then someone's like, wow, Constance Wu. This is in the
no,
succession.
Not.
Right. And then basically, you know, she was sort of walking back her comments, and she tweeted that what she was saying was not about Fresh Off the Boat. And she just attributed it to poor timing. She goes, that was not a rampage. It was just how I normally talk. I say F a lot. I love the word. Y'all are making a lot of assumptions about what I was saying. And no, it's not what it was about. No, it's not what this is all about. Stop assuming. Okay. So then she goes on to say later in the day, now a couple hours have passed. The agents have called.
Mm-hmm.
Family, the executive producer of the show, hair and makeup, wardrobe, you name it, they've called her. So she goes back to Twitter again. Today's tweets were on the heels of a rough day and were ill-timed with the news of the show. Please know, I'm so grateful for Fresh Off the Boat renewal. I love the cast and crew. I'm proud to be a part of it. For the fans' support, thank you. And for all who support my casual use of the F word, thank you too.
I'm going to say this.
By the way, it doesn't end there, Brooke. Yeah, go. Because I'm about to. No. I want you to say something now before I give you this.
I want to say that she sounds extremely entitled. She sounds like a brat. I have no sympathy for her. People work so hard to get work on television, especially as a starring role. I want you to finish what the statement is, and then I'll finish.
Yeah.
With
okay.
everything.
So then
because
she,
the statement is important and you
this
finish
is casual.
It.
In fact, this is all tweet. Then she releases an actual statement.
Right.
So let me know if this changes your mind at all. I'm not sure it does for me either, but here, have a listen.
Okay.
She says, I love Fresh Off the Boat. I was temporarily upset yesterday, not because I hate the show, but because its renewal meant I had to give up another project that I was really passionate about. So my dismayed social media replies were more about the other project and not about Fresh Off the Boat. But I understand how that could feel interconnected and could get muddled. So here's me unmuddled with my truth. Fresh Off the Boat is a great show, and I'm proud of it, and I enjoy it. I've gotten to fully explore my character, and I know her like the back of my hand. So playing Jessica is fun and easy and pleasant. I get to work with a kind and pleasant cast and crew.
Pleasant is such an interesting word.
Which, no, that's why I'm saying it like that.
Mm-hmm.
She goes, which makes it all quite enjoyable. So obviously, I don't dislike doing the show that is fun and easy. And pleasant.
Okay, girl.
But in general, I've always sought artistic challenge over comfort and ease. I was disappointed not being able to do that other project because the other project would have challenged me as an artist. The other project would have been really hard and not easy or pleasant at all.
This girl is on my nerves.
And then she goes, sometimes my closest friends are baffled at how I could value artistic challenge and difficulties over success and happiness, but I do. I know it's weird.
Okay, sis, get over it. If you want to challenge yourself and go back to eating, you know, cup of noodle soup, no, not that you would have to do that, then leave. Then leave Fresh Off the Boat or find a place in your contract where you can eventually leave. I'm sure also being Constance Wu, there's a way to make both the characters work. You need to grab onto your emotions and not tweet because you do look ungrateful. I do think of you differently now. I will say I have worked for 15 years in LA to always lock down important projects and big projects. It's a big deal. It's hard to do, especially when Asian visibility has not been really a thing. And now here she is, and she's beautiful.
She's the
face of it. And she's making people so proud and honored. And that is a responsibility that you took. And you're looking, acting like Katherine Heigl. And we saw what happened to her. She was canceled.
Right. So then here's how she ends it. She goes, "But my words and ill timing were insensitive to those who are struggling, especially insensitive considering the fact that I used to be in that struggle too. I do have regret that I wasn't nice, and I'm sorry for that. I know it's a huge privilege that I even have options that Fresh Out of the Boat has afforded me. But if one does have privilege, they ought to use that privilege as best they can. For me, that means pushing myself artistically, constantly challenging myself by doing the unfamiliar and scary." Here's where she kind of loses me a little. She goes, "People assumed that I meant I don't love and enjoy Fresh Out of the Boat, but I do love it and I do enjoy it. I hope you believe me. People can hold conflicting feelings in their hearts, and that conflict is part of being human. So I can both love the show, cast and crew, but at the same time be disappointed that I lost an unrelated job. I appreciate those who give me the space and faith to believe what I say about both parts of my heart. Thank you. It's meaningful when you make the choice to believe women." Do you think it's weird she tied in Me Too at the end?
I'm going to say this. That statement really just wasn't very pleasant.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela.
So we're just talking about Constance Wu, and you said that she might be canceled because of her comments, and I kind of agree. I think people don't like to perceive people in positions of power as being ungrateful.
Yeah.
And I think her posts and the timing or whatever excuses that she's come up with do make her seem a little ungrateful. Will we just forget about this in the news cycle? Maybe. Hopefully for her, but, you know, who knows?
But she felt very condescending even in the apology, the way that she continued using kind and pleasant. You're like, okay, sis, like, it doesn't feel genuine.
She basically did what Katherine Heigl did, which is Katherine Heigl, when she was asked, "Do you think you'll be nominated for an Emmy this year?" And she goes, "Well, the writing wasn't there this year for my character." Oof. Like, Shonda didn't write good enough for me to be nominated this year.
Where?
Uh-huh. So, you know, so we've all made mistakes on social media, and we've got some of the top ones that BuzzFeed pulled up for us. But it was basically this, there was this one website, I don't know if you remember, it was called ask.fm, mm-hmm. where you would anonymously ask people questions. And so this person used to stalk their crush there mercilessly. It would connect to Facebook and wonder what time she was stalking him and accidentally asked his profile to basically from her page without realizing. And so it took about an hour and a half for her friends to start messaging and be like, and explain what she had done. Basically, something that was meant to be private became public very, very quickly and just embarrassingly so.
That's very awkward and a story that happens so often. You know what? Have you ever done this? This is actually the worst. I hate this. It's not so social media related, but it can be because it happens. When you screenshot something and you go to send it to somebody and you send it to the person that sent it to you.
Oh.
And you're like, oh my God. And they're like, did you mean to do that? And you're like, duh, of course, I didn't mean to.
Oh my God.
They do, and it's awful.
How about this one? I was in this is a shower sexting scenario. I took a picture in the shower to send to my now ex-boyfriend and accidentally hit add to story button. Then my phone shut down because of the humidity from the shower. It was too much for it. Stuck.
Oh.
Sexy picture
oh my
in your
God,
story.
That's awful.
Yep.
Okay, well, listen to this story. Okay, so Lorde, who I actually love, you know her from, she sings Royals, which is her number one hit. She posted a photo of a bathtub and a newspaper, and the bathtub is filling up, and the caption says, day off, right? Which is fine. She then goes on to say in the comments, and I will always love you.
Nope.
Instagram, yikes. Girl, delete this. Lorde, my lungs, Miss Ella, I mean, if it was
a
mistake.
Explain to people who maybe that went over their head.
Okay, so of course, Whitney Houston, the legend, the icon, my hero, obviously died in a bathtub. And that was how she went. It was devastating. So for you to take a photo of a bathtub and say, and I will always love you, it's irresponsible and kind of shady. And she did. She took that right down. Oof. Okay.
So what about you?
What, me?
What have you posted that you were like, whoopsie?
I, I think the most similar thing to me, well, I'm like the queen of screenshotting and sending to the wrong people. I don't know what my
problem
is.
Give us an example.
Okay, for example. Okay, all right. Here's one that recently happened. I'm very close with my sister. So if she doesn't like you, I don't like you. It doesn't even matter. I don't even have to know you.
Sister-in-law?
My sister-in-law.
I was like, that's
but I always
brother.
Call. Yeah, I always call,
you call
my
your sister.
Sister.
Got it.
So my sister-in-law, she didn't like this girl. She's a friend of the family. She's like our fifth cousin or whatever.
She's around sometimes.
But she was like, my sister didn't like her, and so then I didn't because she was being inappropriate. So that this girl texts me and she says, "Hey, I'm coming to Vegas. I would love to see you. Whatever." So
and it's the girl you do not like.
It's the girl I don't like. So I screenshotted it. And I went to send it to my sister, and I sent it to that girl. And the girl was like, did you mean to screenshot and send this to me?
And what did you say?
I said, no, I meant to send it to my sister. I was just very honest. And I was like, and she was like, okay, so do you not want me to come to Vegas and see you? And I was like, I don't think that's a good idea. I mean, I was just very honest. Sometimes when I get caught, I just have nothing else to say.
You know, I agree.
And it's so awkward.
It's awkward.
That's what it is.
Listen,
just apologize.
Before texting, I had one moment where I was in the hair and makeup trailer. I think I've told you the story before. This is during Queer Eye. And I didn't like the new hair guy. And I was lamenting.
I hate this story.
Lamenting over it to the makeup person, not realizing he was standing right behind me the whole time. So, I mean, I know what embarrassment happens in real time.
That's the worst.
Social media can really be the downfall. We have someone in this room who had to delete his Twitter, Jeffrey, our producer. So what happened and why did you need to get rid of your Twitter?
What?
It's a really funny story. So in high school, this happened in high school. I was very well known to be like very Twitter savvy and always like tweeting out. But I had this like kind of fangirl moment when Justin Bieber was like following a whole bunch of his fans. And I was like, oh my gosh, you know, if I could get Justin Bieber to follow me, this would be great. So I would tweet at him every day. Be like, hey, Justin, we're both Pisces. Like, we basically share a birthday. Like, it would be really cool if you followed me on my birthday or whatnot. Uh-huh. I would keep tweeting. I had followed my Japanese teacher, and guess who creeped on my Twitter and showed all of his colleagues. So not only did my Japanese teacher know, but all of my teachers
knew that you were obsessed with.
Yeah.
Teacher put you on blast?
On blast. And he didn't tell the classroom until I started like acting up in class. And he'd be like, oh, so did Justin Bieber ever followed you? Clock me in class. And I was like, I'm deleting my Twitter.
Oh my God. What did you say? Were you mortified?
I was like in class shocked. I was like sweating. And I was like, oh my God, this actually happened. And yeah, no, they dragged me. Like every single time I would walk into class, he'd be like, so how's Justin Bieber?
Ew.
Has he tweeted today?
That's so rude.
I am
ew. Well, if you're listening, you Japanese teacher, that was not very nice of you. And Justin Bieber, if you're listening, please follow Jeffrey on Instagram. It's at Yefrito. Please, he'll love it. Just give him a follow. You're both Pisces. You share the same birthday.
Justin, have you ever posted to social media something that inevitably bit you in the butt at the end?
So I was 19 and, you know, I was all up in my feelings, just had a breakup. And, you know, I said some things on Twitter I probably shouldn't have. I deleted them the next
day. What did you say? We have to know what you said.
Oh, it was just, you know, I put my ex on blast because she cheated on me with another friend of mine. So, yeah, I put them on blast. I said some choice words that I can't even say here, but...
Oh, my.
Yeah, I shouldn't have done that, and I deleted it.
Well, she did cheat
day.
On you.
Well, I think it's time for us to delete this hour and move on to the next one. But you want to stick around with us because we've got some fun topics we'll be talking about. And, of course, Michaela's going to give you the news on the beat next hour.
But more importantly, Justin Bieber... at Yefrito.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela.
I'm just fascinated by Madonna and Lourdes' relationship.
I don't know what kind of relationship they have. Are they close?
I mean, I kind of been seeing her a lot in her social media. Lourdes has been making appearances now that Madame X is Madonna's new alter ego and she's in preparation for releasing a single, I think called Crave. I just am fascinated with Madonna as a human. Like, I don't necessarily love all the music. I'm not like a diehard ride or die Madonna fan, but I'm fascinated by the persona. I'm fascinated by her accomplishments. She just literally wrote this this interview, and she said, I'm green with envy because she's incredible at everything she does. This is Madonna about her daughter. She's an incredible dancer. She's a great actress. She plays piano beautifully. She's way better than me in the talent department, but she does not have the same drive. I feel social media plagues her and makes her feel like, quote, people are going to give me things because I'm her daughter, end quote. She said, I try to give her examples of children of celebrities like Zoe Kravitz, for instance, who work through it. And then she goes, oh, yeah, you're the daughter of. But I just think it's very interesting because Madonna says, you know, that basically she grew up without a mother. But Lourdes is growing up with a mother. And Madonna grew up without money. And Lourdes is growing up with money. I'm fascinated by their little relationship.
You know, it's difficult. I bet it's difficult being Madonna's daughter.
Oh, I can't imagine.
I couldn't imagine. And I bet that Lourdes is so beautiful. Oh my God, when she first was born.
She does look like a young Madonna.
She does. But you know, also, maybe it's not a drive issue. Maybe she just doesn't want what Madonna wanted. Maybe she is content with the life that she has or is having.
Or if her mom ever retires, which may happen, maybe it won't happen, maybe she'll perform till the day she dies.
Yeah.
Maybe that'll create a little more space for her. I don't think she wants to be her mom's competition.
I don't think so either. And I feel like even though that was a very loving thing to say about Lourdes, I feel like Madonna would be a little competitive.
I fully agree with you on
right?
that.
Like, no tea, no shade. Yeah, yeah. I feel like they would definitely be in a little bit of competition. Maybe the act. Would it be the act situation?
I don't know.
Not that bad.
Yeah. So anyway, long story short, sorry about that, girl. But, you know, listen, we do need some more pop stars in this world. So if you want to participate.
Honey, Lourdes, let us know. We'll play here on Channel Q.
That's right. All right. Well, maybe it's time for some news on the beat. And Michaela, what are people talking about?
All right, guys. Well, Chelsea Manning might have been released from jail, but her freedom will likely be short-lived. Last Thursday, the whistleblower turned activist was released from the Alexandria, Virginia Detention Center, where she had been jailed for refusing to answer a grand jury's questions about WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange since March 8th. Manning, who spent 7 years in prison for leaking classified government documents to Assange while serving as an analyst in the United States Army, is scheduled to testify before another grand jury this coming Thursday, where she expects to be asked the same questions about WikiLeaks and its founder that she refused to answer in March. Now, although Manning told Stellar that she doesn't know if she'll be back in jail by week's end, she seems fully ready to repeat that outcome for as long as the federal government feels like it. In a video statement published Thursday following her release from jail, Manning doubled down on her commitment to not cooperate with this or any other grand jury. I will never agree to testify before this or any other grand jury, she said. The truth is that the government can construct no prison worse than to betray my own conscience and principles. All right, girl. Moving on. China fired back in the trade war with the U.S. and Wall Street took the first hit. The Dow dropped 617 points after China announced it was hiking tariffs on $60 billion worth of imported American goods. More than 4,000 U.S. goods are targeted. Most of them now carry tariffs of 25%, up from 10% when they were first levied last September. These new tariffs are in retaliation for hikes on $200 billion worth of Chinese goods announced last week. Now, the Trump administration hopes this economic brinkmanship will force the Chinese into cutting a trade deal, but there's no guarantee that's going to happen. China's tariffs will also hit U.S. farmers especially hard, and some farmers are getting nervous. They have a message for President Trump. This cannot go on. All right, guys, moving on. Across America, children came home from school, turned on PBS, and saw a gay rat get married on Monday. Yeah, you heard me right. In a brand new episode of the children's television show Arthur, titled Mr. Ratburn and the Special Someone, the kids find out that their teacher, Mr. Ratburn, is getting married. At first, they mistake Mr. Ratburn's bossy sister, Patty, voiced by Jane Lynch, and his fiance, but at the wedding day, Arthur, Buster, Francine, Muffy, and Binky attend the event to find out that Mr. Ratburn is marrying a man, or rather, a male animal. From the looks of him, he is an aardvark, like the show's titular hero. Now, very few animated shows aimed at children's embrace queer themes and content, even when they're as tepid as Arthur's. Now, in 2005, PBS was forced to pull an episode of the Arthur spinoff Postcards from Buster, in which Buster visited a family with lesbian mothers. Now, before it was to air, former education secretary under George W. Bush, Margaret Spellings, asked PBS to pull the episode for fear that children might be exposed to lesbians. Speaking of lesbians, we want to invite you to New York City Pride because thanks to Channel Q and Schafferhofer Grapefruit and Pomegranate, they want to send you and a friend to New York City Pride. They're going to take care of your airfare, your hotel stay, and the list is amazing of artists who are playing. You've got Jake Shears from Scissor Sisters. You have Mel C, Melissa Etheridge. It is a party that you don't want to miss. The weather's going to be amazing, and thanks to Schafferhofer, they just want you to unleash your pride. Now, you heard us talking so much about our dogs, our sweet Rocco, our sweet Rico. Oh, that's interesting. There's like one different letter in the middle of their name that differentiates them, Rico and Rocco. Now, we have our own problems with them, but we are so thankful for our celebrity veterinarian, Doc Halligan, who will be joining us to answer some of the questions you guys wrote in. So we will have that story for you in 10 minutes coming up.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela.
Tell you something, I don't want any kids, ever. Never, 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 never. Because I know I'm going to have to babysit everyone else's, which is lovely, fine.
Yeah.
Throw on a video of a kid doing something cute or crying because he couldn't and then finds the courage to do it. And I'm like, yeah, that's fine. I could have one of those as a neighbor.
I'm telling you, though, I'm looking through these. It's like a Tuesday and people are sending their kids to school. And some of these moms are like, it's already been a rough morning. They've thrown their food around.
Oh, God.
They don't want to get up.
Yeah.
Now we got to get in the bath.
Will you like refusing. That?
No. Honestly, I was a really good... My mom used to say that I was really good, but I enjoyed going to school. Like, well, I loved...
That's why I have fur babies instead of real babies. I don't know if I could handle a real baby.
Yeah.
Seems like a lot of work.
Well, I'm having a real baby, but they better act right.
Don't you
little
just train
baby.
Them? Like, all right, well... You're getting good practice with your Rocco and your two other boys.
Yes.
Now it's time to turn to Doc Halligan, our celebrity veterinarian, author, and activist. She is one of the people who are, you know, just like giving us a good kind of moment in terms of understanding dogs and cats. In fact, Doc Halligan hosts these great specials for Animal Planet. They're called Cats 101 and Dogs 101. And she was actually one of the judges on this really hilarious, get a little listen to this. Okay. Show I was on. The show I was on was called Groomer Has It.
I'm going to tell you something after this. Go ahead.
And it was a competition reality show,
uh-huh,
like Project Runway, but looking for America's top dog groomer.
Okay, so first of all, I'm at Dinah.
Uh-huh, Dinah Shore.
And this girl comes up to me, this really cute girl. Uh-huh. She says, you're Jay's co-host. I said, yeah. She goes, I did the dog groomer show.
Yep.
My name's Danielle, and I did the show with Jay. And I was like, oh my God, this is so random. Well, good, while we're here, can you groom my dog? Because I need some help.
Well, we love her. You guys love her, too. We have some questions for our very own activist, author, and veterinarian, Doc Halligan. Welcome back to the show, Doc.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi,
so
Doc.
We're going to dive right in. The first question reads, we just adopted a cat that's formerly a stray. We want to allow her to be indoor and outdoor cat. Do we need to give her any extra attention with regards to vaccines or diet?
Well, the big thing is flea and tick control.
Ah.
Especially if it's going outside. Although indoor cats can get fleas. People think, oh, my cat doesn't go outside, but you can bring eggs in on your shoes.
Oh.
It's so gross. So, no, fleas, I got to tell you, like, in California, all year round, we see fleas all year round. And there's so many great products. In the old days, you used to have to dip them. And
yeah.
We have no way to control it. Now, for just pennies a day, you can control fleas. There's a Seresto collar for cats and dogs that works for 8 months.
Ooh.
There's the pill, NexGard, that does fleas and ticks. There's Comfortis. There's also the topicals. And, you know, whatever your vet recommends, it's best to get them from the vet.
Right.
Because a lot of that stuff that you see, you know, you go to the grocery store, they copy the packaging and it doesn't work.
Oh,
that's interesting.
Yeah, you know, they know, right? That, and it's so sad. So really, you got to discuss it with your vet because
okay.
We are the ones that have the products that are the safest and most effective. And yes, for vaccines, they have to do the rabies if the cat's going outside as well.
Okay, that's good.
All right, Doc Halligan, I have a question for you. Hey, Mama. The question is,
hi.
My partner and I look forward to camping with our German Shepherd, Cersei, every year. First of all, I can't stand that their dog's name is Cersei, the
Game
German
of Thrones,
Shepherd.
Yeah.
Now, outside of her advantage treatment, is there anything else we need to worry about with taking her camping for a week? My friend mentioned something about snake training. Is that something that is necessary?
Yeah. Well, there is a snake aversion training, but it's, you know, that's for people that live in very high snake-infested areas.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, I mean, I think you have to be smart about it. You should have some Benadryl on hand, believe it or not. That's over-the-counter, okay? Benadryl, just plain Benadryl, not Benadryl cold or anything.
Okay.
And the dose is 1 milligram per pound. So if you have a 50-pound dog, it would get 50 milligrams, which would be two of the tablets that are 25 milligrams is when it, what it comes in. Okay? And
okay.
So if you suspect your pet gets bit by anything like that, ants or a bug or a snake, that's so safe and is appropriate to give immediately. So that's something you should have on hand. And, you know, you do have to be careful if you're letting them go off leash and stuff
sure.
when you go camping. So just, you know, use common sense, but I think it might be overkill to have to try to put them through that class because that's not an instant fix. It's
sure.
a class where you teach horses and dogs to avoid snakes.
Oh, God, that seems tedious. All right. Well, Doc Halligan, if you're just joining us, we're with Doc Halligan, our favorite celebrity pet veterinarian. Final question. You know, I have a dog, and I don't know if I have him on flea and tick treatment. I think I used the oral pill, but living in California or Southern California, do we need to get the flea and tick treatments for even if we're just walking our dogs outside? I'm assuming so.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, people don't understand. Like, there's a pill called Capstar.
Mm-hmm.
That only lasts for a day. So you give it to them, and within 2 hours, it's so that all the fleas will be dead. But there's no long-term acting residual activity in that little pill.
Got it.
There are pills called Comfortis. That's a pill, right?
Uh-huh.
It doesn't work against ticks, but it lasts for a month. Then there's Nexgard, which is a pill, and that also kills the ticks. So you got to assess if you have a risk of ticks, but in any event, every pet in Southern California, even if they're only indoor, has to be on some form of flea control because people wait till they get bit, then they scratch themselves raw,
yeah,
and then they end up having to get a steroid shot and antibiotics, and so it's a $300 bill when, like I said, $20 a month. Preventative is the best thing for fleas and ticks.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for lending us some of your time and your expertise, Doc Halligan. For more information on Doc Halligan, visit DocHalligan.com. We love you, Doc. We'll talk to you next week.
Love you, Doc. Thank you.
Have a great week. Okay,
you too. Bye.
I feel like every week she really just gives us so much information that we really needed. And even though
yeah.
the questions that other people ask, I'm like, oh, that's a good idea. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, uh-oh. I think my pill ran out.
No.
I think I did a 3-month oral. I think I forgot. Yeah, they didn't call me about it.
We got to get more.
Got to get some more. I just want fleas and ticks on my pillowcases and on my...
No, ma'am. I don't want them anywhere on my home.
No, ma'am.
Not my pillow. My entire living area. My car. My body. Any restaurant that I go to. Any grocery store I frequent. Anywhere. No ticks allowed.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela.
Oh, Tuesday. Ooh. What happened? What'd you drink?
Girl, I just had a taste of the Red Bull blueberry.
Yes.
First of all, I'm not a big Red Bull girl. Like, I just like coffee.
Mm-hmm.
But the blueberry taste of it is a little sour.
Just like a tart blueberry.
Ooh, she just, like, gave me a little kick in the mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, girl, well, we know who you are.
Yeah.
Little Sour Patch.
Well, now it's time for Wild and Out. It's our segment where we highlight different fun animal stories we put on our website. Most of these come with visuals anyway. And you can just head on over to We Are Channel Q if you want to get a better visual of what we are talking about. So there's this really cute hungry pup. A greedy dog sneaks in, basically... it gets stuck in the hole in his food bowl, you know, like the stand where the bowl goes into, while attempting to eat every last morsel, and it is so stinking cute. You know how puppies get. I actually have the same food thing. It's like the wooden kind. Well, he pushed so hard that he ended up getting basically halfway through the entire thing and walking around the house like he was wearing the carrier that held the food bowls. Do your dogs do anything like that with the food? How's feeding time in your house with the
we
three?
We had to get a specific bowl for Rocco. The Rocco's not a regular bowl anymore. It has lines in it, like a little puzzle where we put the food, because he would eat it so fast that his belly would hurt. He's like a pig. Oh. The biggest pig. He eats everybody else's food. He eats his food. So now we have to lock him in the room by himself so he can't eat with the other boys because he eats their food. And then it takes him like 5 minutes to eat because he's got to get through the maze to get to his food. Because his belly was hurting him.
That's actually really clever.
Isn't that smart?
Yeah.
It was great. And then the other two boys, they eat fine. But Rocco would literally get his head stuck into anywhere just to make sure he was getting the last amount of food.
Well, there's another story, and this is a little bit of foul play. A rooster shows up at an auto shop one day and decides he works there now.
No, he doesn't.
Yes. It was just a normal day at the R&R Garage, North Carolina. When a rooster randomly wandered over to the garage and he didn't seem to have any plans to leave. The employees assumed that he'd just been abandoned and they started feeding him leftovers from the shop fridge. But when they took a long weekend, they sort of figured he would just kind of move on to another spot. When they came back, he was still there. So they named him Earl, and he's been the shop rooster ever since.
Come on, Earl. Yeah. Earl was like, I'm going to get me a job, honey.
Earl seems...
Maybe his wife left him, and he
maybe.
Was like, you know what? She thinks I'm a loser, and
or
I'm
his
about
husband.
To show her. Or his husband.
You know?
And he was like, maybe it was Michelle, maybe it was Michael.
You know how
and
cocks
said,
get?
Yeah, well, cocks get crazy, you know what
That's
I'm
right.
saying?
And Earl sleeps in a tree at night nearby unless the weather's bad, and then everyone makes sure that he's safely inside for the night. Every morning, Earl eagerly greets the fellow employees as they ride for work that day, and he's fallen into a daily routine around the shop that everyone has come to know and love. It's so stinking adorable. There's a picture of him on foot at the door waiting to be let in. He comes running when the first guy comes to open up for the day. So literally,
that's so cute.
Comes running up to the glass door. He gets a cup of his scratch, and then he wanders the shop looking for any bugs that might be around.
He gets like a little cup of his own coffee.
Yeah. He gets up on the toolboxes and the workbenches looking for spiders and anything he can find.
Well, he took on supervisor position. He's like, I'm not going to actually do anything. I'm just going to watch over you because I'm the supervisor.
I'm kind of thinking we might need a rooster mascot.
I have one. You bought me that one.
I know, but it just sits in the corner, doesn't do much.
What do you want me to do with that rooster that you bought me? You guys, if you're just tuning in, Jay bought me this rooster stuffed animal.
Because you said your chickens got taken away from you or they died.
Okay, so my chicken died when I was like 7. So Jay came in the next day with this chicken stuffed animal. Okay.
That's right.
All of you have just taken this whole to a whole nother level. Okay, this story is really funny. Tell me about the wild raccoon.
Okay, so this is wild raccoon that has moved into the Heidelberg Zoo in Germany, and the keepers can't kick him out. The German daily, they were doing some reporting, basically, that the zoo staff recently discovered the uninvited guest inside the raccoon enclosure, where he seemed to be getting along just fine with the 7 other residents. I mean, could you imagine if you're like a wild feral raccoon, and then you see there's a safe haven for raccoons, they're living it up. Yes, they don't have a whole lot of room in there, but they're fed regularly.
Yeah.
The people come and take pictures of them.
Yeah.
It's like the Kardashians.
Yeah, it is.
It's the raccoon Kardashian.
Yes.
They have a smoky eye.
Rock Kardashian.
That's right. And people take their photo.
They have a lot of hair. Sometimes they shed.
Yeah.
I think this is great.
Well, they nicknamed him Fred, and he can expect free board and lodgings for life because the European Union rules forbid him from being released back into the wild now that he's been in there. So he made a good choice.
I'm going to tell you something about Fred and Earl. They have figured it out better than we ever could.
I know.
Now, the problem is he's unlikely to produce offspring because... he's going to have to get castrated. So that's going to be a tough time for Fred. But when that is over, he's going to be living the high life, honey.
I bet you Doc Halligan would love nothing more than to neuter him. She's good at neutering.
Doc Halligan, bring your neuter truck.
She says that's why she's single. Because she removes testicles for a living.
Okay.
And the minute she tells a guy that on a first date, suddenly he doesn't call her back.
Okay. Same.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela.
This is kind of wildly unbelievable, but also like completely believable.
What?
So there's this woman who's starting a yearbook for the squirrels that live on the university campus.
Goodbye. I'm going to need this story to know. Not on this Tuesday.
Because you know it's graduation season right now. Someone's getting gearing up or just about to graduate or just graduated. So Marie Morano, she's an alumni from the University of Texas in Austin. She started naming the squirrels she saw at lunch. when she was a student at the university. And her favorite includes Berry, a mother squirrel who has a berry stain on her face. When Romano met her, the two squirrels named Sunflower that she wasn't able to quite tell apart. And so now she has the, she's like, they're actually, there's actually two sunflowers. I didn't realize until seeing them this many times. I didn't want to give up either of their names. So now there's just Sunflower 1 and Sunflower 2. That being said, she has gone on and made a whole trailer. Like a movie style trailer of this upcoming yearbook. And these squirrels, like, I mean, it is pretty amazing. If you, I mean, there's different, you know, variety levels. There's friendliness levels. There's squirrel specific courses that these squirrels are taking.
Let me ask,
and that's
you
all going to be in the yearbook.
How much time does a woman have to make an extensive reel for the squirrels and yearbook? Like, I can't even get my own reel together. She's making one for squirrels. Okay? Okay, Gersh. Got some squirrels on the loose.
I mean,
looking
this
to get signed.
One of the pictures she has, she goes, he might attack if he don't get snack. Here are his traits. Gym boy. Poopable nose. Nice round ears. Loves workout snacks. Studying the nutrition of nuts.
Oh, yeah.
Find him right like... by Greg. What should we name him? Oh. Comment in the, like, she has a list of them. That being said, I mean, I can't be mad at this because I follow two squirrel accounts.
Are you kidding me?
I'm going to be honest.
This girl
with
is
you.
A squirrel. I follow that account.
I do too.
Yeah.
I do too. You guys.
Sometimes it's nice.
If you can give a chance, follow This Girl is a Squirrel.
You know what my feed is?
Oh, what?
Drag queen, naked guy, squirrel. naked guy, drag queen, squirrel.
Yeah, honestly, that's real. Mine is like lesbian, drag queen, gay man, drag queen, squirrel.
Yep.
Dog.
It's a nice mix-up.
I also follow dogs.
Do you? I follow dogs and pigs.
No. How do you feel about goats? Goats please me, honey.
I like a miniature pygmy goat.
Yes, the pygmy goats are the best. You know what I really want to do? Will you take me to do this? I want to do goat yoga.
Let's do it.
I would love it.
We're doing panic room today, so that
I know. I hate this idea. Are you bringing cocktails or not? Because I'm not going if you don't.
Well, let's find out where it is. I know it's in Hollywood somewhere, so we'll do some meet nearby for a
flask.
Drink. We'll meet at 4.
You know what? Squirrels don't have flasks. So who's winning now, you little nut job?
All right. Well,
I think this story is the best, and I think it's the perfect way to
end this hour.
Yeah, because the fact that we're reporting on squirrel yearbooks says a lot about us and this Tuesday show, honey.
And the choices that we've made in our lives.
We are nuts.
Can you not see it?
No.
I can see it.
It's neon red. I was just looking at the picture. Do you not see this big zit right there?
That He's trying look... to be sweet.
Okay, great. It's huge. That being said, yesterday I did something I'd never done before. My friend owns a spa. Do you think you can laser zap zits to, like, kill the bacteria within them and decrease how long they'll be on your face?
No,
yeah.
I didn't know you could just go to a laser and zap them like that. I know that. I mean, I go get lasers to, like, keep my pores clean.
Yeah, apparently if you go to, like, a dermatologist's office or, like, a spa and they have someone that does facials, there's a laser light thing that they zap you with. It feels like an electric current, and it kills the bacteria, and, like, it's supposed to be
dead. Maybe that's why it's so big, because it's, like, coming, the bacteria's coming out, and it's going to delete.
This, if you could imagine, it was bigger yesterday.
Does it hurt?
Yes.
Those are the worst. Lisa's so annoying to me. I don't know if you guys are, but we should make this a conversation. Lisa is obsessed with Dr. Pimple Popper.
Do you know that
cannot is? Cannot get enough of Dr. Pimple Popper.
Great, so that is Vance's best friend.
Ugh, okay,
in real
well,
life.
Listen, Lisa
and
would be
And that's
why
I was
honored.
With yesterday.
Well, Lisa would be honored to meet them.
Well,
I am
let's
so
have her
grossed
on.
Out.
She's a lot of media requests right now, and I think she lives like an hour away, but we'll figure out a way to make it happen.
Fine, we'll have her
you
on.
You love her too.
But I'm
Justin
disgusted.
Really loves Dr. Pimple Popper.
Here's the reason why I know so much about Dr. Pimple Popper. Lauren's mother lives literally right next door to her office.
There you go.
So I see them filming
That's
all
good.
The time.
Yeah.
Well, Lisa insists on any kind of pimple I have on my face that she gets to have it. This has been for 4 years. 4 years. I'll be asleep.
What do you mean?
She'll pop it. Yeah. And I'm like, Lisa, I'll be asleep. This is not an exaggeration. I will be asleep. Night, night. I am not awake. I am definitely asleep. She will come and start giving me like a facial and start popping. And I'm like, Lisa, if you don't get away from me, I swear to God, I'm breaking up with you. She loves it. She can't get enough.
I'm fascinated by the show. I thought the pimple popper was going to be facial pimples.
Ugh.
It's not. It's like...
No, I'm so grossed out. It's ooze coming out of their body. Oh,
but
my
in different
God.
Kinds. Sometimes it's like in a ball. Ah! Sometimes it looks like a chicken cutlet. And sometimes the good ones look like cottage cheese.
No, you're an awful
they
human
do.
Being.
That's exactly what she says. And that's what she's so funny with. She's like, oh, my God, look at this. She's like, oh God, look at it. The cottage cheese is coming out.
Good morning, everybody. Yeah.
God,
anyway,
that's so
Dr. Pimple Popper, we love you, girl. And yeah, a big shout out to Ole Hendricks in the spa on Sunset, where Vance and Imani, my facialist. I have a facialist now.
Oh,
I've been twice.
Imani of all names.
She's from New York and she's gorgeous. She could be a model.
We love that name.
And she's so good with like skincare and stuff. It makes me feel bad about life.
We love that.
Where you feel really uneducated and you're like, I should be. I left feeling like I've never felt when my pores were more open after my first facial. That I thought, I must be not washing my face correctly.
Yeah.
Well, whatever. All right, well, now it's time for some things that you guys want to hear about, our listeners. That'd be the news on the beat. So, Michaela, what are people talking about?
All right, you guys. Well, across America, children came home from school, turned on PBS, and saw a gay racket married on Monday. Now, it's important to tell this story because this is not a normal story that children get to see on their children's programs. I actually used to love Arthur. I used to watch it in school. Never did I think that this would happen. So, in a brand new episode of the children's television show, Arthur, titled Mr. Rapporn and the Special Someone, the kids find out that their teacher, Mr. Rapporn, is getting married. At first, they mistake Mr. Rapporn's bossy sister, Patty, voiced by Jane Lynch, as his fiance, but at the wedding day, Arthur, Buster, Francine, Muffy, and Binky attend the event to find out that Mr. Rapporn is marrying a man, or rather a male animal. Now, from the looks of him, he is an aardvark, like the show's titular hero. Now, very few animated shows aimed at children embrace queer themes and content, even when they're as tepid as Arthur's. Now, in 2005, PBS was forced to pull an episode of the Arthur spinoff, Postcards from Buster, in which Buster visited a family with lesbian mothers. Before it was to air, former education secretary under George W. Bush, Margaret Spellings, asked PBS to pull the episode for fear that children might be exposed to that disgusting thing called lesbians. Hi, Lisa. I love you. Moving on, former President Jimmy Carter is recovering after falling and breaking his hip yesterday. According to a statement from the Carter Center, the center said Carter was preparing to go turkey hunting when he fell in his home. It added that he is now recovering comfortably after undergoing surgery at the Phoebe Sumter Medical Center in Americus, Georgia. His wife, Roslyn, is with him at the medical center. President Carter said his main concern is that turkey season ends this week and he has not reached his limit, the statement reads. He hopes the state of Georgia will allow him to roll over the unused limit to next year. The former president was in office from 1977 to 1981. He diagnosed with brain cancer in 2015, and he announced several months later that a brain scan showed the cancer was gone following the treatment. Jesus on my lie, my I just
that was one of the turkeys.
If you
sigh of relief.
Our listeners, did you guys get as terrified as I did? My whole body is like it went hollow. I literally cannot stand you. Honestly, you're canceled for 4 minutes. Okay, moving on. Your girl, Poppy Rodriguez. Yeah. For years, the Spice Girls have served as icons and inspirations for their LGBTQ fans. Now I'm nervous you're going to do it again.
No,
I'm not thinking about it. I'm sweating.
The turkeys are gone.
Okay, don't do it. I'm nervous. But this summer, Sporty Spice herself is showing even more love for her queer fans. On Monday, Melanie C announced that she would be performing at this year's New York City Pride Festival and its closing ceremonies, joining the ranks of performers like Jake Shears, Melissa Etheridge, and Pablo Vittar. This will be her first appearance at a North American Pride event. Now, that is the only, just the beginning for the singer summer, because Melanie C will also embark on her World Pride World Tour, including dates in Brazil, Amsterdam, Germany, and the UK, with the London queer collective Sync the Pink and their bevy of drag queens. The stage will involve all the hits, a sequin catsuit with Adidas, of course, and four extra spices in drag, according to a statement. The new tour will come just on the heels of Melanie C's reunion tour through the UK with the rest of the Spice Girls starting later this month in Dublin. Now, to see the announcement and all the tour dates, head on over to WeirdChannelQ.com. While you're there, sign yourself up for New York City Pride, because thanks to Channel Q and Schafferhofer Grapefruit Pomegranate, they want to send you and your best friend to New York City Pride. They're going to take care of your airfare and your hotel stay. All you have to do is be willing to unleash your pride and over to wearechannelq.com for your opportunity to do so. Now, when we coming up, what we're going to do is we love games and we often play games, but our producer Justin has something very special for us. We don't even know. It's going to be a surprise. So make sure you stick around because you're going to want to hear about this.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela.
Thank you for being
We all know this theme song. Listen, the past 20 years have produced some really incredible theme songs. This would not be one of them because this is over 20 years old.
Can we just take a moment? I mean, I just love this song. I love this show.
Do you know what's weird? Do you know that this is not the original version of the song?
Go on.
If you do karaoke or something, it gives you the long, extended, actual song, not the cut for TV. And there are lyrics you've never heard of, because I tried doing it once, and I was like, what's happening? And they're like, that's the real song, boo.
Wow. Because
it was a song shortened to be the,
I love, do a lot of people cover it?
Seriously cover it, or just comedically, maybe?
I think that I want to make it like a jazz version, in a very funny but cool jazz version.
You have a month till my birthday for you to sort that out.
Actually be okay, stop talking to me. I don't want to tell you anything else.
All right, so this next game Justin, our producer, created, but it's basically naming the top TV theme songs in the past 20 years.
So what I've done is I've given you guys the top 10 TV theme songs of the past 20 years according to RottenTomatoes.com.
okay,
so
but we just have to name the show, right?
Like, yeah, just name the show, and got then it. We'll see if it's on the top 10 list. Whoever gets the most at the end wins. Michaela Gordon, you're up first.
Friends.
Friends is a really, really great option.
And we'll never know.
It's number two.
Yeah, go me. No one told you that was gonna be
Jeffrey,
this
way.
I mean, we covered it. So, Game of Thrones?
Game of Thrones.
That was a good guess, actually.
I mean, we talked about it, so I mean.
Yeah, only number one.
Hey, good job, Gabe.
Jay.
I was going to say, oh, God, Sex and the City?
Sex and the City, oh. Not on the list.
No way. That's a bad call. That should have been on the list. All right,
Michaela.
I'm going to say Beverly Hills 90210.
Beverly Hills 90210,
oh,
not
over
the past 20 years.
Yeah.
Oh. All right, calm down. Do I get another guess?
Yeah, I'll give you another guess.
Okay, can I say...
Has to air within the past 20 years,
okay,
since 2000.
Will and Grace.
Will and Grace, good, good theme.
No.
These people don't know talent.
Will and Grace was
over 20 years ago.
Oh,
they have a reboot.
Yeah, so but didn't make a list.
Friends.
Friends was just
was the first thing
by Michaela.
She guessed.
Good job. Number two, but do you want to take another shot?
Oh my God, no.
What am I thinking about?
Big shows, come on.
TV in the past 20 years.
Dramas.
Comedies.
I'll skip.
Okay, he'll skip. Jay.
Theme songs, like you hear it and it comes on.
Iconic.
The American Idol theme song.
Oh, good one. Oh, that was a good one. That was stupid.
Michaela.
NCIS.
NCIS? What are you, 70 years old?
It's still on. What are you, 78 years old?
No, not on the list.
The Walking Dead?
The Walking Dead,
that's
Jeffrey.
A good one.
That was a good one. I wouldn't guess that.
Number five. So that's two for Jeffrey now.
All right, calm down.
That's a good one. I like that theme song. And so iconic. Like, you totally know what it is right away. Geez, this is harder than one would imagine.
Yeah, I know.
Because all the big shows that I like...
Just because it's within the past 20 years doesn't mean it premiered within the past 20 years. I'll give you that big hint.
Got it. Did nothing for
nothing.
Me.
Okay. I was like,
All right, let's say big shows. I don't think it has. What is it? Most popular, or what is it?
Just the most iconic TV theme songs.
Most iconic. Well, that's relative. All right. I kind of feel like Golden Girls would have been up there, but that's over, that's like 30
Can
years.
Can you say Golden
no,
Girls?
No, because that's 30. It's not 20
but
years.
But it's still playing.
Oh.
No.
It's in syndication.
No. All right. Well, there you go.
Just new episodes.
RuPaul's Drag Race.
Maybe from Community, just not on this list.
No. Mm-hmm.
Jeffrey.
While I watch The Walking Dead, I also watch Breaking Bad.
Oh.
Breaking Bad is a great, great one.
Oh.
And it's not on the list. I know. It was shocking.
Oh, God. Okay,
Jay,
give us some hints.
Let's see.
Top 10 TV
See, I think TV theme song. I used to think daytime talk shows. So, like, The View used to have a good one. Ellen's original theme song.
Yeah. Is that it's our talk shows?
Is it just scripted?
Just scripted.
Okay, that's helpful.
All right. Scripted
Listeners,
shows.
GMA.
Let's say Big Bang Theory.
Oh.
Big Bang Theory, a great guess.
I don't even know if they have
not
a theme
on the list.
Song.
Yeah, Bare Naked Ladies sings it.
Oh, there you go.
One more time around. Michaela Gordon.
Roseanne.
Ooh.
I hate this not game. This is a dumb game.
Cartoons, yeah.
Jeffrey, yeah.
The Simpsons?
Simpsons. Jeffrey.
Jeffrey! You're the best at this.
That's good.
Okay, I have one.
She's cheating. She's on her phone.
Yeah, it's number three.
No,
so,
no, no,
Simpsons.
I'm not. I wasn't cheating.
Jeffrey's running away. Jay, your last guess.
Great. My last guess is going to be, the ever so popular theme song for the hit television scripted series called Grey's Anatomy.
Oh, yeah, good.
No.
Okay, can I ask a question? I don't have to be in the game anymore.
Yeah.
Family Guy.
Family Guy, not on the list.
Oh. Wow.
But let me run down what was the top 10. So number 10, maybe you've heard this theme song. The Office.
How did I mess that up? I love The Office.
Oh, so do I. I mean, who doesn't watch it on Netflix all the time?
I know, bummer. Okay, got it.
Okay, number 9. From Netflix.
With females.
Yeah.
Oh.
Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
It's a good theme song.
That's a good one.
It's a good one.
Yeah, okay, messed it up. Yeah, sing it for us.
Number 8. Curb Your Enthusiasm, HBO.
Oh,
definitely don't remember that.
I was like so not even thinking HBO. Okay, go ahead.
I wouldn't have been able to clock that one though. Mm-hmm. On its own, no.
All right, come on, Justin, a few more before we go.
Yep. Just round
coming up, number 7, Law and Order.
That's what I meant. That's what I said. NCIS. I meant Law and Order.
Oh,
that's
you meant Law and Order.
Is that what you meant? A different show altogether.
Well,
yeah,
I can give you
a
back point, but no, that's not. Gonna
I don't
count.
Want the sympathy point.
Number 6, Doctor Who, and then number 5, Walking Dead. You got number 4, Mad Men.
Okay, that's good. All right. Well, everyone's screaming.
Yeah,
so
number
bring
3,
it
Simpsons.
Down.
Number 2, Friends. Number 1, Game of Thrones. And that's your top 10 TV theme songs.
Okay, so who won?
Jeffrey.
Okay, Jeffrey.
Good job, Jeffrey.
Try to make that happen for yourself. Justin, did you know all those answers?
I would have guessed some of them. I wouldn't have never gotten Kimmy Schmidt, I think.
Yeah, that was a pretty good game. I liked it.
I'm glad you guys liked it.
I also hate losing.
Yeah, if you guys want to see the full list, RottenTomatoes.com.
Love
gentle.
It.
All right. So now last week, I believe it was, we were talking about this school and they have a program put into place where they weren't offering children with outstanding debt a hot lunch. Instead, they gave them like peanut butter and jelly or something. And it was really embarrassing because the kids whose parents were unable to pay their back lunch pay, these kids had to suffer being kind of made fun of for being poor or whatever. And it was very visually obvious when they would arrive at school at the lunch hour and perhaps looking to get the only possible hot meal they might have in their day, and the school gave them instead the sandwich. So many companies, including a pizzeria around the block, offered to clear the debt, and the school was resistant to have that. So Chobani, the Greek yogurt company,
right?
They stepped in. They said every child should have access to natural, nutritious, and delicious food. So Chobani is doing our small part to help pay this debt. Business must do its part. Our responsibility as members of community who will join us. So that's kind of really sweet. That's very, very sweet because I guess the school said about 1,600 students owed a total of $77,000 for lunch and they could not continue to mount the debt. Now, Chobani is stepping in to pay off the balance and relieve the students of their debt. What do you make of this?
First of all, I think that's amazing of Chobani. I hope that more businesses will copy what they've done. My question, though, is what happens now for the students who still can't afford lunch?
Right.
And the debts will then start adding up again. Are they still going to be offered the same lunch as the rest of the kids? Like, how do we move forward so this doesn't happen again? And Chobani doesn't have to step in and pay $77,000.
Yeah. You know, I think even the ladies of the talk came together and they pledged, I think, $40,000 as well. And they were looking for CBS to give them another $40,000 and then it would be totally clear. So I guess that didn't happen. But I'm curious because, you know, this is one of those moments where you think, oh gosh, the price of lunch money. Like when kids would forget their lunch money or someone would take their lunch money, I remember seeing kids in school who just didn't have the means to be given lunch money, and their parents would send them off with whatever they had from the house. And it was very shaming if you brought something that the other kids weren't eating or your food didn't look as fancy.
I mean, let me tell you something. I had a single mom growing up, and honestly, she did the best that she could, but we did not have a lot of money. And I remember sitting down at lunches and I would see other kids' lunch, like their mom and dad lived together and the mom made dinner that night, like the night before. So the kid had like amazing, delicious stew and, you know, like a bread roll and like a Capri Sun and like all these like
not the Capri Sun honey
she got that Capri Sun,
she got that good
and then I got, you know, I never like had without, but my lunch definitely, I mean, I got like some bread and some bologna and like some chips or whatever, you know, whatever a single mom can do. It's totally different. And my mom wasn't slaving away at the kitchen at night, she was at work, so we didn't get the like takeovers the next day. And I remember thinking like, that really bothered me. Yeah. And so I can imagine how these little kids feel not being able to have a proper lunch and then being shamed again, being told, no, you just have to have, to, you know, with the bottom of the barrel. And I think that it's really important that they come up with a solution moving forward. Like I said, Chobani's great, but I think for all school systems, they lack already so much financially. I mean, with kids needing pencils and papers and all of that, but they have to have good food. I mean, they're growing kids.
Yeah, I do feel bad for the children who whose parents don't have the means, you know, to provide. I think the broader conversation is, what do we do? Do we punish children for the actions of the parents? And how do we then put our best foot forward if this is our future generation?
Yeah.
You know, how do we support and uplift them. All right, let's talk about tomorrow.
All right, well, tomorrow, we have a great show.
Yeah, we have a great show lined up. And also, we're going to bring up the sex scandal, the sex strike that Alyssa Milano is calling for. And we're going to be talking about it, whether we think it's going to be an effective tool to affect change or if it's just a whole lot of hot air from a Hollywood actress.
Listen, honey, I've heard a few different theories from men and women, and I have to say I might be on board with this sex strike. I think it's kind of interesting.
I feel like my sex strike is currently happening, and it's involuntary.
That's so stupid. All right. Well, thank you as always for tuning in. We have a great show for you tomorrow. You have great programming the rest of the day. Thank you so much to Jeffrey and Justin, our producers, for always making it happen. And we'll see you tomorrow. Bye.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.